in the summer in a tent or in a hammock, as we say. And, you know, so a lot of what happened is that we used to live in camps and we were a family. And the government made us move into communities and we lost the sense of family. And they made us into white men.
Do the people?
It's like we're native people, but we're brown on the outside and have to be white on the inside, as some people say.
Do people?
And so we had, and then, you know. So I think it's a lot of it has to do with the fact that nobody trained us how to budget. Nobody trained us how to save money. And then we had to live with the white people that came north. And we had to live with laws, you know. And so a lot of things were taken away from us. And they forced a society on us. It's like killing us with kindness, you know. I'm the minister. I come into your community. I'm here to save your soul. And you're a savage, and this is the way to be civilized, you know. And in civilization, they have laws and police to protect people when people are bad, you know. So foreign concepts, you know, and the community couldn't heal itself. All of a sudden, you have people who become mercenaries for each other or mercenaries for the government or mercenaries for the community. You know, it's like we have lost the ability to realize what a shelter is. For us, shelter was moving around and hunting and eating, and now we have to live in a community and get used to paying rent, budgeting, and, you know, all these things were very foreign concepts. And we're in doing the second and third generation, and, you know, and people just cannot cope with that. And you get a lot of social disruption in the community. People hit each other when they can't eat, or when they drink, they hit each other, you know. Or when they're crowded in a small house, they hit each other, you know? They fight each other. We never used to do that on this scale. You know, it's like we never had to fight each other to succeed.
Yeah.
We always used to work together.
Yes.
And now if we want to be in a house, we have to fight for it.
Yeah. Joshua,
it's a foreign concept.
Alanis wants to ask a question, I guess, to Siegvig.
Is there, what you are saying is so true, and what is most hurtful for me in my life, like I've seen this happen so many times, when you know exactly what's going to happen when the new road comes in, when facilities is established so that all kinds of things and new things and new people come in and force their ways on you. But is there, do you see people, you understand what's happening, is there such a movement that your own people want to go back to some values? I'm not saying that you should go back and live in an igloo, although that might be a good way to do it, but I am thinking of the values of the relationship, the family value, the children, how important they are and how special they are the responsibility of the whole community. And we used to all be like that in the past. And that's what's missing now. People are lost because there's no love anymore. You get hit, you get raped, you get beaten, you don't belong, and you end up on the road in your own community. It's very unhealthy. We know that. Is there, I can, just hearing you, I know you understand what's happening and what has happened. Is there a movement to make people see that? You feel it's almost a mission. Somebody has to get up and start telling people that this is wrong and we have to go back to some values and find the love we had for each other and comfort each other. Nobody should be homeless, especially in a community like that. Is there such a movement with you people to try and in your programs to get things better, to include the spiritual aspect of life of the people of the past. What kept them together, what was good for them in the everyday life is still good today, and we have to go back to some of these things. Is there such a movement in your programs to try and help people out?
Well, the new territory, because it's a new government, you know, the reality was that we had to import our bureaucracy from the South, the majority. But the new government also set up what they called Inuit Kauyumak. IQ, as they say, the short version, IQ. But, you know, so there is an attempt by the elders to bring the old values back. But that's a select group of people who have the privilege of meeting and have the money to travel and meet together. But the reality is our government is hired from the South, the majority of it. And because it's such a new government and the people from the South that have to come north to work in the government, very few of them actually get to meet with the elders. You know, it's like, how do you teach a white man to do things a native way? You know, that's something which the government hasn't solved yet. And when it comes to disruption in the community, you know, the policemen will still enforce their criminal code. You know, the social worker will still use the skills they learned as a social worker down south, you know. You know, the attempt to get the elders to provide leadership to heal the community, it hasn't transferred to the government. It's like, but at the community level, some communities, ministers are encouraging healing through the church because we have been converted so much. A lot of Inuit are very Christian or very, very religious. You know, I think the church has done a real job on converting Inuit to Christianity, and some of the communities are wondering, you know, how can we use that to help ourselves, you know? So some of the churches are, some of the ministers are wondering how can they apply that, you know? But it's very hard to, because there's only so many elders and the government doesn't hire them all. And the people that make the decisions in government are all, the majority of them are white people from the South, you know. So I've been to a lot of meetings where the people from the South have said, oh, they want to apply what they know works down from where they come from, and we should let them help us. And, you know, and it's like repeating the same mistake. It's like when the Indian agents went around and stole the children and brought them to residential school, except now it's their territorial government doing this to us again.
You know, that only stopped because we stood up and we said no more. We fought back. And there was no changes until our people, ourselves, decided that this was the end. It has to come from inside. It has to come from your own people who will say, no, we want our own people to be social workers. We want our own people to make decisions here. And it's just as so long as you let them do it, they'll do it. You know, they'll come and they'll take everything. You have nothing left. That's what's happening. So you really need somebody from inside to say, no, you need some strong leadership that is your own people and say, no, we're going to do it our way. there's some things that is good from the south, but there's also some very good things that are good from the north. And we will decide what is good for our people. Until you do that, it just goes on and on and on.
There's a lot here.
There's people who have become homeless, who have gone to school, like at the Arctic College. They had years of government experience, you know, and they had a lot of esteem, you know, because, you know, that they worked hard to get the training. They worked hard to do the job in the community. And then when we got our new government, the new government wanted nothing but the best, because that's, you know, it, you know, we thought we were doing it the right way. Yep. But in the end, it hurt us, because I think when we tried to raise the standard too high, and all of a sudden, a lot of the social workers were laid off because they didn't have the necessary qualifications that the new government wanted. So as a result, there were many people who were laid off in the new government, Inuit, laid off by their own government, and some of them became homeless. And I met one former social worker that came through here, and, you know, he was disillusioned, you know. But, you know, like down south, you hear the speeches our politicians make and the land claim makes, and they make it sound like it's a wonderful thing happening. But,
you know, Joshi, this is true. We see these things happening all the time. I think we have on the phone Jimmy Kay. Jimmy, are you there?
And actually, I would just would like to remind the phone number where you can reach us and interact with us, and actually maybe bring an answer to the question that Alanis raised. The phone number is 1-866-763-4136. And actually, I would love to hear some people from the Agvic Society to the question that Alanis, and or to the comment that Alanis brought to us.
Hello.
Okay, this is from the Agvic Society. I'm just speaking on behalf of my
family. Maybe you're too close from the phone. Start again.
Let's try that again. Hello. Yeah, go ahead.
They're not there.
Okay, Jimmy, are you there? No. Okay. Yeah, no, it's
this system
it's cold.
Is cold.
It's cold.
It's cold. And actually, we've been talking with people from Nunavut, but we definitely invite people from other communities through Canada, because that's this right. is a question which is, well, and I mentioned it, and actually you're not an Inuk, you're coming from another community, and it's a kind of question that, which is coming across Canada through different communities. And maybe you can tell us about people who try to raise their own voice.
Yes. We have across the country many places where the either shelters or centers or training programs to help out people who are homeless. And as I said before, you just don't become homeless just like that easy. There's a lot of reasons why you get there. So there's all kinds of help that you do need. But we found in our experience that the only ones that really work very well for our people is when there is inclusion of an indigenous program in it. Well, that the person who has those kinds of problems can recognize itself into certain ways of life. Yeah. Sometimes it's food, you know. You have a shelter, you have a place. You'll make the food that they're used to eat. Mm-hmm. You'll have some ceremonies. You'll pray together. You'll discuss, you tell stories from home. You have an understanding with all the people that are there, because although they're all from different nations, there are things that are very common to each other. So within the actual program, with Inuit people, in the community, there should be a very strong component that is official. Not just introducing it, just
right,
say,
right.
You know, you're not professional.
Yeah.
That's not the point here. The point is here to make it as an official program, where the people that have those kinds of problems, they're at home in the program and can follow that and can identify with it.
Okay. Jimmy, are you on the line?
Yes.
Great. Why don't you tell us where you're calling from?
Hey, well, we're on.
Yeah, you're on.
We're talking through the smoggy air.
Yeah.
Well, this is Jimmy Kay talking to you live from Toronto at the Tumavit Youth Shelter.
Excellent. Welcome to the show.
Home of the Res Dog Cafe.
Yeah.
Well, greetings, everybody.
Hello. I guess you're inside, aren't you? You're not outside.
We were outside for a while, but the lines, they started to, everything started to freeze up. We are in Canada, you know.
Yeah. Sure.
So share with us.
Well, I work at Tumavit, and Tumavit means our footprints in Inuit. It is owned by the native people of Toronto and operated by native men's residents.
Uh-huh.
Tumavit opened in December 2002 through funding from the federal and municipal governments. We receive operating funding through per diems from the City of Toronto. And we get all kinds of youth here, between the ages of 16 to 24. You name it, we get it. And we work with it.
And what do you think about this issue of inclusion? What do you think about this issue of getting Native people in positions where they're actually a part of the government and not just working for the government?
Well, for sure. I hope it's happening as we speak that our people are branching out. We're the fastest growing community in North America. Our people are on a slow road to recovery, no matter which or how you might want to take that. But it's happening.
Uh-huh.
I don't think probably something like this, a vehicle like this, gives us an opportunity to really see each other, get connected, the networking. That's what we need to do. That's what's missing, because we're almost isolated by things that we experience in everyday life. So when we...
Like what? Like, give me an example of isolation in everyday life. Tell me more about what you mean when you talk about isolation. Jimmy? Hello?
Take a nip.
This is a good example.
Yeah, actually, I'm getting together, networking.
Yeah.
You get separated quick.
Okay. No, these things happen. These things happen.
Did I lose you?
No. Oh, no. Okay, great. You're there.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so look, I'm just going to get that number out there one more time. We've got 1-866-763-4136. This show's being broadcast at 30 stations across the country right now. I know there's a lot of people out there listening. I know there's a lot of interesting debates.
All right.
Which could be going on. So please give us a shout. Again, that's 1-866-763-4136.
Are you there still?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, what's up?
Ask me anything. What do you want to know?
Tell us the truth where you are.
Well, I'm not standing right next to you.
Nah.
I bet you probably holding on to a nice Tim's.
Are you kidding, Kidoo? I've got two frozen feet right here outside.
Yes, it's pretty cold here, but, you know, talking about the homelessness and just the harshness of their street life, you know, this is only seconds compared to what they go through in everyday life.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, they go through it 24/7. And my own life is just a small piece of that. I can't compare my life to anybody else's, but, you know, just from my own perspective, come a long way, done a lot of hard work. There's a lot of mentoring that probably needs to happen in the community, and maybe people are doing that, and... you know, the major population that's at risk right now is the youth.
Yeah.
Yes.
And actually, you mentioned the youth, and Alanis was talking about having people getting organized and getting back to some tradition, which might be very helpful to go move ahead with such problems that we're facing. And there is a very interesting magazine. I don't know if any people from this magazine, which is called Red Rye, and I don't know if somewhere in Canada these people are listening to us. It's a youth magazine.
Right.
And maybe if they are here listening to us, I would love to hear from them and calling us.
Give us a shout. Totally.
Give us a shout.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And do you experience, like, you're working with youth, and we will have a separate panel around 2 a.m. about youth. But do you experience this need from youth people going back to tradition?
Yeah, well, being in the field myself and having been immersed in the culture for, I wasn't around it most of my life. To tell you the truth, I wasn't ready for it, but it was always there in the background. Wasn't until I really started to look at my own journey, my own healing in life, that I started to really...
Oh, fantastic. We have Mary on the line.
Yes.
Hi, Mary. Welcome to
the
show.
Line. I just wanted to say that the work that I do at the Agvik Society here at our shelter, we don't even address homeless ladies. It's not covered in our mandate. We only take ladies that are from abusive situations for safety reasons. But the ladies that are homeless are not... can't come to the shelter. We'll allow them a one night stay or three maximum days to stay here. Then they have to find other means. So that's not even addressed for the ladies here in Iqaluit.
And where do they go after that limit? Where do they go after the time is up?
They just try and find a place somewhere to stay. Maybe, you know, walk around, whatever. Or go back to a relationship that is a violent environment because they have no other choice.
Yeah. Boy, there's got to be something else because that's not long enough. You know, there has to be more help and longer stay for these
women. I know.
It
really bothers me because we have a army barracks up here with I don't know how many rooms that's totally vacant. While you were saying and talking about taking a vacant office and building a shelter out of it, I thought, gosh, we should just get in there and go over there.
Yeah.
Like, what would stop us? The army?
That's the only way we got them to move.
Yeah.
Yeah, to do something.
Mary, currently in Nunavut, it's a period of election. And everybody is talking about social problems that we're facing in you're facing in Nunavut, and actually the house crisis that you're experimenting. Could you talk to us about any expectation that we have with this upcoming election?
We did questionnaires from the Himavik, the women's shelter here, and we sent them out to the MLAs or people that are running for MLAs, but so far we only had two people respond to us, so I don't think people that are running for MLAs are taking it very seriously about women's shelters and homelessness. They got other priorities.
And there was the federal government organized a 2 days consultation at Iqaluit, Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday. Have you heard about this consultation, and what do people think about this kind of consultation?
From what I understood is they have $7 million, which is going to be spent in the next 3 years, and that they pick, I think, six communities for shelters. So we just got to pray that Iqaluit is going to be one of them.
All right, I'm just going to take one more break. And before we continue this conversation, just to get that number out one more time, we'd really appreciate some of the calls. It's freezing here. We've got our all 10 collective feet in the ice right about now, and those calls really warm us up. So the number once again is 1-866-763-4136. That's 1-866-763-4136. All right, let's go back to Mary.
Someone just said that.
Hello. Ah, c'est pas grave.
En français, je peux faire une traduction.
Ah ben oui.
J'ai des choses à dire. Tu sais, c'est une personne qui est arrivée ici à Montréal, OK, qui pensait qu'il y avait toute la vie devant moi, OK. J'avais quand même eu des problèmes de dépression, OK. Et puis, un petit trou dans mon CV de... J'ai été en prison. Ben, je peux te dire, je suis arrivée ici, j'ai rempli des CV, j'ai suivi des petits cours en employabilité, là, pour comment remplir des CV, puis tout ça. Fait des applications, puis en entretenir mon entregent, mais ça a été très difficile. J'ai dépensé des fortunes à aller donner mes CV, OK? Et puis, j'ai pas eu... je trouve que le marché est méchant. Il est dur. Ils prennent les personnes qui sont universitaires et compagnie. Ensuite de ça, j'ai d'autres choses à dire. C'est que...
Excuse-moi, je vais t'interrompre parce que ça donne un bon aperçu de ce qui s'en vient sur l'heure d'après. On va avoir un micro ouvert juste après dans 10 minutes.
Okay.
Donc, je vous invite à revenir dans 10 minutes.
J'ai le loyer, j'ai ci, j'ai ça à parler. Et même le problème, l'itinérant qui traîne dans la rue, que moi, je ne suis pas supposée d'avoir, celui qui fait les mauvais coups, puis je suis pas supposée de l'avoir, je ne fais pas les mauvais coups. Moi, j'ai le journal itinérant dans les mains, et puis j'en suis fière. Je suis fière d'entretenir mon logement et de l'entretenir bien, puis d'entretenir cette société-là aussi.
Je vais traduire en anglais, puis on reviendra dans l'heure qui s'en vient avec un micro ouvert. So we had someone who just stopped by, and actually we're in the street, and she was talking about her own experience and sale. Actually, she is selling a newspaper, a street newspaper, which is produced by the people who are helping producing this marathon, the homelessness marathon, l'itinéraire. And she was saying, like, with this magazine, it allow her to provide some basic resources that she needs. So this is one of the experience that people find for, you know, surviving while living in the street. Mary, maybe do you have other comments that you wanted to bring? If you're still here.
Yes, there are some people here that would like to speak.
Yes.
Go ahead. We
about
have
homelessness.
3 minutes.
Yeah, we have 3 minutes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, welcome.
Hi. Homelessness, we're just having a hard time here in Nunavut. We got people living in overcrowded houses. We got homeless people living down at the beach in shacks. And we got women that keep going back to abusive relationships because there's no place to put them. And then we have a hard time keeping our staff here at the homeless shelter, women shelter, because we don't offer housing, we don't offer good wages like the government and the other agencies. So it would be really good if we found more funding to help us with staff housing and better wages and just anything to compete with other agencies so we could keep our staff here.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Look, there's a lot here we can keep on talking about. The next hour coming up is an open mic, so I encourage people to keep on calling in and give us your thoughts, give us your opinions. That number, once again, is 1-866-763-4136. This is a toll-free number. That's 1-866-763-4136.
I'm just worried because we didn't talk about the fact that there's more and more homeless people that would never dream would become homeless people, and that this is a social problem, and it's a question of not being able to make enough money to pay you for a room or for rent. I think that has to be addressed because in as we are now, we have whole families that are without a place to live.
No, this is a really important issue. I think we have the opportunity to take this exact point and like develop for the next hour.
The next hour coming up is an open mic, and we invite all our invited people who are currently with us to stay with us and to do some intervention. And actually, the point that Alanis raised regarding communities and finding a way of finding solution by our own, this should be an open question, and people are invited to call and to react to that. Mm-hmm. Too. And so Neil, you want to mention?
Yeah, I'd like to give a big shout out, thank you, and also just let people know about some of the stations which are carrying us and where they're at. There's 30 of them. I'm not going to read them all out right now, but I'm going to start. And let's see, a big thank you to CFCR, this is Community Radio from Saskatoon. CJTR, this is Radius Communications from Regina. We've got CJLY from Nelson, BC. CJSF, Simon Fraser, Campus Radio. CITR, this is from Vancouver. CFUR, this is University of Northern British Columbia, Prince George. And the list